Your speaker in this lesson is Larry Acuff.
The book of Philippians is a great New Testament book, one of the 14 books written by the Apostle Paul. I believe that the book of Philippians is a book of love and appreciation. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul, in the first chapter of the book of Philippians, he says to them that you have supported me in the preaching of the gospel. As a matter of fact, that from the very beginning, the church at Philippi was established as a result of a vision that the Apostle Paul had, in which one stood and said, come over into Macedonia and help us. Paul went into the area of Philippi and there established a congregation of the Lord's people. They supported and they encouraged him. When you look in Philippians chapter number 1, he writes to them and he said, my prayer for you is this. And of course that is not unusual in the Apostle Paul's writings, and that is to emphasize the prayer that he had for them. He said, my prayer is, and I think it's significant, there are two things listed in that first chapter in which he said, my prayer for you is, number one, that your love may abound. I think as you and I look at the Apostle Paul and the relationship that existed between he and the church at Philippi, that it was a relationship of love and encouragement. Ladies and gentlemen, when you and I look at the relationship that ought to exist among each one of us, it ought to be a relationship of love. And we're going to talk about that just a minute for a little bit more. Also, Paul says not only that your love may abound, but notice something else he said. He said that you may approve things that are excellent. When you and I look at this concept of excellence, our world is so full of mediocrity. We have this idea that, well, if I can just get by, if I can just get by in school, if I can just get by in work, if I can just get through the day, do we not call Wednesdays hump day? If I can just get over Wednesday. And so Paul writes to this church at Philippi, and he said, I pray that you may approve things that are excellent, things that are wonderful. If you and I spend a lot of time in Philippians chapter 2, you and I would find that the Apostle Paul also says in verse number 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And he goes on to say in this great chapter, he talks about the fact that he said, I forget those things that are behind, I look forth unto those things that are before, and I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul talks about some enemies of the cross of Christ and how they damage the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But now I want to focus on three things found in Philippians chapter number 4. Paul said in verse number 6, he said, do not be anxious. I'm going to paraphrase this. He said, don't you worry about anything. He said, do not be anxious in nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And he said, the peace that passeth understanding. You and I, ladies and gentlemen, we look at this. He talks about the prayer. He said that you may pray. He said, as you look at this prayer, don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Now, you go down to verse number 8. I'm going to look at verse 6, verse 8, and verse number 9. In verse number 8, he said, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, he said, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And then in verse 9, he says, the things that you have seen in me, he said, you do those things. When you and I look at this passage of Scripture, if you want a title of a lesson, I just simply call this Think Tank, T-A-N-K. You and I may be familiar with, in Washington, D.C., there are certain organizations that are referred to as think tanks. Now, what these folks do, they get in these meetings or they get in these organizations and they do a lot of research and they do a lot of study and they come out and they say, well, here's what people are doing, here's what people are thinking, and they provide information to politicians. The Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs 23, verse 7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I'm simply asking you something about your thinking. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. In Arbor Place Mall, I'm sure you've seen this sign, there is an advertisement there for Tanner Hospital. And across the top of that sign, it asks this question, what is in your heart? And of course, the emphasis that it is making in that is your heart full of plaque, of cholesterol? Is it closing up your veins and your arteries as a result of it? But I may ask you and I that same question in another way. What is in your heart? Is it malice? Is it greed? Is it revenge? Is it resentment? Have men built up? You see, ladies and gentlemen, whatever is in my heart and whatever is in your heart is going to come out in our life one way or another. You say people have said things and they'll say, oh, I didn't mean to say that. Well then, why did you say it? Because it is thought, ladies and gentlemen, in the heart. And so that's why the Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That's why Jeremiah said, the heart is deceitful among all things and is wicked. So when you and I look at the heart, that's why the Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Now, I want you to look at three things here. Number one, right praying leads to right thinking, and right thinking leads to right living. Now watch what he says. In verse number 6, he said, be not anxious in anything or nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. I want you to look at this concept of right praying. There are three things about right praying. Number one, and that is what I call adoration. Now look at what the Bible says. In Psalm 4, verse 4, the Bible says, stand in awe of God and sin not. In the book of Matthew, chapter number 6, and verse number 9, the Bible says, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. In the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4, the Bible says that there's one body and one spirit, beginning in verse 4. One body and one spirit, even as you're called and one hope you're calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Now listen to this. One God and Father who is above all and in you all. Do you and I see the greatness of God? Do you and I understand the Bible says that the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth His handiwork? Do you and I in our prayer, do we have a prayer of adoration to God? Or do we just simply bow our head and we say, okay God, here's my Father in heaven. We thank you for this day. Here's my list. Rather than taking the time, ladies and gentlemen, to express in our prayers the greatness, the adoration, the glory of God, do you and I read the book of Revelation and we see the Bible tells us in the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation that they were around the throne of God, and what were they doing? They were praising the glory of God. You see, ladies and gentlemen, until you and I recognize the adoration that we ought to have for God, God is not man. God is not like man. Ladies and gentlemen, you see, my actions in life, back this up. Remember I said right praying, right thinking, and right living? That if I'm not praying right now, I can give you all kind of passages on prayer. The Bible says, for an example, in Luke 18, verse number 1, the Bible said men ought always to pray and to faint not. Or in Romans 12, verse 12, the Bible says continuing instant in prayer. Or in 1 Thessalonians 5, and verse 17, the Bible says pray without ceasing. And so when you and I look at this, then we understand that in that prayer, it is a prayer in which we praise and adore the name of God. The song that our young folks sang, we called it a praise song. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns in heaven above. You see, my life is not going to be affected until I recognize the greatness, the glory, and the holiness of the God of heaven. If we spend a lot of time today, we should go back to the book of Leviticus. The book of Leviticus is a book of holiness. And what Leviticus is saying, you be holy even as, listen to what the Bible says, as I am holy. Or the prayer of our Lord in John 17 when He said, I was in your glory at one time. Now give me that glory or return that glory to me as I have been here on this earth and will die for the sins of man. Adoration. Right prayer is adoration. Right prayer is supplication. The Bible says, be not anxious in nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. In the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 1, Paul said that you pray intercession and supplication for all men. In the book of Ephesians chapter number 6, the Bible talks about the fact, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And He said, you put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and darkness, the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. And He said, you put on the whole armor of God. And then notice this, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Now, there's a couple of words after that. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now, when I studied this lesson, I almost just abandoned all these other points to deal with that phrase, in the Spirit. You know, many times prayers, it's kind of an afterthought in the mind of an individual. And yet, when you and I go back to Romans chapter number 8, and the Bible says that the Spirit makes intercession for us. When the Bible talks about the testimony of the Spirit of God and the Spirit of man. And so then in Ephesians chapter 6, He said, you pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. What is He saying? Ladies and gentlemen, I believe men can pray all day and it doesn't go higher in the ceiling because their life isn't right in the sight of God. You cannot pray in the Spirit and go out and do what you want to do in the world and forget God and put Him fourth or fifth in your life and then come and pray in the Spirit. Where do we ever get the idea? Supplication. What is that supplication? Well, we could, again, speak all day on it, but ladies and gentlemen, let me just give you a brief statement. And that is asking God to help Larry Acuff to be the kind of person that Larry Acuff needs to be. Three things: adoration, supplication, appreciation, with thanksgiving. You know, it's amazing how thoughtless we are sometimes. Oh, we don't mean to be. You know, I don't mean to be thoughtless. You know, I don't mean not to think. I'm sure that I do not thank you enough as a preacher in this congregation. You pray for me. You're always interested and concerned with Janet and myself, with our life and with what is going on in our life. And you're concerned and you're always praying. I'm sure that I don't thank you enough for that. And you see, the Bible says, Paul said that in that prayer of supplication and adoration, make sure that it is with thanksgiving. You remember Luke chapter 11, 17, our Lord healed 10 lepers. How many of them came back and said, thank you? I don't always follow through with this. I mean, I try, but I'm going to tell you, folks, you've got a very imperfect preacher, and I don't have to tell you, they already know it. I put a bulletin board in my office at home. I put a big thing I had, I don't know where I got it, but it was simply encouraging the words, thank you. And you see, that's what God is saying in this prayer. Right kind of praying includes adoration, supplication, appreciation. Now, secondly, right praying leads to right thinking. Finally, he says, I've already told you, don't worry. Don't worry. I'm not a worrier. I just get concerned. Don't worry. Pray. Instead of worry, pray. Isn't that a great way to do it? Instead of worry, he said, don't you worry, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your request be made known to God, and the peace then that passeth all understanding will be yours, basically. And finally, he said, now, right prayingly, you got to think right, ladies and gentlemen. Whatsoever things are true, ye shall know the truth, John 8:32 says, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:44 says that the devil is a liar and he is the father of lies. Revelation 21:8 said all liars shall have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. You and I think about truth. John 1:17, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Or John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now I want you to watch it. I want you to look at these, because, ladies and gentlemen, every one of these things are connected. I don't want to be out of place, but I'm going to use an illustration that will illustrate exactly what I'm saying. He said, finally, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, a good report. This last Friday, we had the announcement, a politician who ran for President of the United States and Vice President of the United States, and ladies and gentlemen, every single one of those went together in his life. He wasn't truthful. Number two, he wasn't honest, because he denied everything that had been said. Hey, you've been having an affair. Oh, no, not me. Ladies and gentlemen, wasn't honest. Just, can you treat your wife who has cancer? Could you treat your wife that way? Is it pure? No, it's immorality. Fornication. Is it lovely? Everything but lovely. Is it a good report? Let me say this, ladies and gentlemen. When I make excuses to God, I'm lying to God. When I teach a doctrine that cannot be found in the pages of the Word of God, I am not honest. A man cannot preach or practice a false doctrine and be honest. When I deal with my brothers and sisters in Christ, or I deal with my fellow employees, or my relationships, and I refuse to give the benefit of the doubt, I'm not just. When I backbite and devour, that's what the Bible, Paul said to the Galatians, you backbite and devour one another, you're going to be consumed of each other. Not anything lovely about that. When I gossip about things I do not know, what about a good report? Where does all that come from? It comes from a mind. Now, have you ever thought about what affects your thinking? Think about what affects your thinking. You see, ladies and gentlemen, you think about this. I thought about the preacher, and he made a big speech, a big audience, and there were reporters in the audience. And the reporter, now watch this, because here's what happened. A reporter in the audience, and the preacher went to the reporter after he had made his speech, and he said to the reporter, when you write up your report, I would appreciate it if you would not say anything about the antidotes that I used in this particular message, because I may want to use them again sometime. So I'd appreciate it if you wouldn't put anything in there about those. You know what the reporter wrote? The reporter in his report wrote in the newspaper, the preacher said several things which cannot be repeated here. See, what affects thinking? Let me give you two things that affect your thinking. And I can take all day, but I'm not going to. Two things that affect your thinking. Number one, what you read, watch, and hear. What I read, hear, and watch affects my thinking. And if there's something wrong and your thinking is messed up, then quit watching and seeing and listening the people you're listening to. Look at this. The Bible says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Right praying. Right praying. See now, what you put in it. Secondly, there are two things that affect your thinking. Number one, what you put in your mind. Number two, the people you associate with. Listen, a dog may get into a fight with a skunk and win, but is it worth the smell? Quit associating with messed up people. How are you going to help them? Let me tell you something. If I'm driving down the highway and you're down in the ditch, I'm not going to drive my car down in the ditch to try to get you out. I'll stand up on the road and I'll throw a chain or a rope down there and try to pull you out. I'm going to tell you, I don't have to get down in the ditch with you. What you read, see, and hear affect your thinking, and the people with whom you associate affect your thinking. Number three, right praying leads to right thinking. Right thinking leads to right living. See, that's what Paul said. The things that you have seen in me, you do. See, when a man begins to meditate in the Word of God, then as the psalmist said, he shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. But watch this. He said, the ungodly are not like that. They're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor the unrighteous in the congregation of the righteous. Finally, brethren, right praying leads to right thinking, and right thinking leads to right living. Where are you? Are you thinking right? Are you praying right? Are you living right? You know, we could catalog probably 100 folks in the next hour if we chose to do so. You know, it's interesting. I see and read these reports of all these Hollywood folks and these quotation marks, the stars of music and movies and what have you. Isn't it sad that almost every one of them been involved in some kind of it's almost like you can't be one unless you've been to rehab twice. But a fellow by the name of Ben Stein, I don't know if you know who he is or not, but he recently produced a movie which I have not seen that I understand it would be very good. But he wrote an article in Newsmax magazine. And basically what he said was this: doing drugs and drinking alcohol, he said, is the most useless thing. Now then, here's what I'm asking you to do today. If you need to make a change in your life, then I'm asking you to do it. If you're not a Christian, you've never been baptized for the remission of your sin, I'm asking you today to believe in Jesus as the Son of God, to repent of your sins, confess Christ before men, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you have sinned publicly, I'm asking you today to repent. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me."